Chapter 2. The Nightmare Before Christmas, December 23 to 24, 2000. I should never, ever in a million years have agreed to this. It's madness. I'm looking down, and I can't even see the bottom of the hill. It's supposedly 1,000 feet. That's as tall as the tallest skyscraper. And I'm supposed to slide all the way down on a glorified spare tire with my 4-year-old twins right in front of me. We're all going to die. That's all there is to it. Me and the twins and Lori, who's in front of them, we're going to die right here and right now on this frozen hill.
Ready?
I look up into the face of a girl who's almost certainly still in high school, smiling down at me. No, I'm not ready. No sane person could ever be ready for this. But I'm trapped, and I have to go through with this, so I nod. The girl, wearing her bright blue parka with the resort's logo over her right breast, counts to three, and on
three,
she gives my tube a shove. For a moment, nothing happens, and then it begins to move, picking up speed, and it's not more than 5 seconds before the wind is roaring and the trees are zooming by. I grip the handles on the side of the tube so hard that my hands hurt, and I close my eyes tightly. I let out a shriek that's carried away by the wind, and then all rational thought follows it, blown right out of my mind. There's a hand on my shoulder, gently shaking me. I can hear someone. Me, whimpering.
Sarah, relax, you survived.
I open my eyes very slowly. Lori is smiling down at me, and as I look past her, I can see that we really are at the bottom of the hill. She extends a hand, and I grab it and let her pull me up.
You okay? All in one piece?
No, I say. I think I left my stomach up there somewhere near the top. My twins are standing next to Lori. Steffi is hopping up and down with excitement.
Again!
That's no surprise. Ben isn't so sure. He doesn't look nearly as bad as I feel, but I don't think he liked it all that much. I take his hand and squeeze it as we head to the chairlift. He gives me a weak smile as we climb on and buckle ourselves in. The chairs are arranged in twos, side by side, so Ben goes next to me, and Steffi and Lori are in the next set, right behind. I pointedly don't look down as we're conveyed back up the hill, and Ben follows my lead. We hold hands the whole way up, but neither of us says a word. When we arrive at the top, I pick him up and give him a nice, tight hug. It makes us both feel a lot better. Acrophobia, I say to Lori when she steps out of her chair a moment later. That's it, right? Fear of heights? I think I just gave it to myself. She laughs.
Well, you were crying like a little girl all the way down, she says, and I don't even know why.
I've never had a problem with heights before. I don't mind roller coasters. Maybe it's the combination. The height plus the speed plus not being buckled in plus not being attached to any kind of track. That must be it.
And you're never going to let me forget it, are you?
Well, she says with what I have to call an evil grin, but it fades into a warm smile after a moment.
I think I'll give you a pass on this, actually.
She could be remembering any number of embarrassing things she's done that I've seen and never mentioned again. I smile my thanks as her girlfriend comes up to us.
So you made it all in one piece, Kate says.
You're talking big for somebody who was sitting in the cafe the whole time, Lori answers her. They banter back and forth. It's easy to see what a close couple they are. I'm so happy for Lori that she's got Kate. They didn't arrive until this morning, so they missed out on our exciting power outage last night. How about if Steffi goes with you guys?
That's the perfect solution.
Steffi can go again, and Ben and I can drink hot chocolate from the safety of the cafe. As my son and I watch them get in line for another run, I realize that while Lori will let me forget my crying like a little girl, Steffi certainly won't. It's lunchtime, and Brian and I have left the kids in Beth's charge for an hour so we can talk about last night. We're in a quiet corner of the cafe, and as I tell Brian about his dream, he
He looks almost nauseous. She, whoever she is, saw us? Watched us while we were... At the time, I was more worried about the mere fact of her presence. I didn't give much thought to what she was seeing. But I am now, and suddenly I feel as nauseous as Brian looks. That dream is exactly the thing I worry about Lizzie or my mom seeing. That is not how I want to introduce the subject of sex to my daughter. I know it happens to lots of parents. Their kids walk in on them by accident. I nearly walked in on my parents once. I was Grace's age, or maybe a bit older, and I was upset or worried about something, I can't remember what, but I do remember it was almost midnight. I got out of bed, walked down the hall to their room, and had my hand on the doorknob, and I heard them. That was more than enough. If I'd opened the door, if I'd actually seen them, I probably would have turned around, walked into the bathroom, and clawed my own eyes out like... whatever his name is, the guy in that Greek play we had to read in high school.